This morning I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 in your New Testaments. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 begins a new section of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It addresses a new subject. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 address the subject matter of spiritual gifts. Now, the study of and the subject of spiritual gifts can be complicated. And it can be controversial. Often the issues generate more heat than light. And for that reason, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 12, verse number 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." That very same phrase is used back in chapter 10, verse number 1, where it's translated, "I do not want you to be unaware." And Paul addressed the matter of ignorance regarding spiritual gifts. You see, there are so many questions about the matter that accompany this subject of spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? Or perhaps, how many gifts are there? Does every believer have a spiritual gift? Or two? Or more? How can a person know what gifts he or she has? How important are spiritual gifts to the individual Christian or to the church collectively? What is the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and how do they relate to spiritual gifts? Of course, we might ask, are the gifts still operable today? And if they are they all still operable today, or were some given for a special purpose and for a limited time? We might ask if the gifts can be counterfeited, and if so, how can believers tell the true ones from the false ones? You see, there are so many questions that accompany the subject of spiritual gifts, but those questions are not unique to us. I believe the Corinthians were asking those very same questions, and so for that reason, Paul wrote in chapter 12, verse number 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." You see, the practice of our Christian faith isn't an ignorant practice, but God has graciously given us His written word, has given us the Holy Spirit, so that we might intelligently understand all that He wants us to understand, and so that we might intentionally obey all that He would have us to obey. Over the next few weeks, we can study the Scriptures and we can examine the text to answer our questions about spiritual gifts so that we aren't ignorant. But there wasn't only the matter of ignorance, there was also the matter of arrogance. And Paul secondly addressed the matter of arrogance. This isn't in your notes just yet, but by way of introduction, understand that Paul addressed the subject of spiritual gifts because of the Corinthians' ignorance, and also because of the Corinthians' arrogance. And we will find that the Corinthians were puffed up and boasting in their gifts and clamoring for the best gifts or for the public gifts. And yet it is explicitly clear that the Holy Spirit's gifting is not to exalt ourselves, but rather to edify one another. And so from the text, and for our purposes this morning, I've written at the top of your notes, spiritual giftedness is God's means of equipping and enabling God's people, that's us, to edify one another in the body of Christ. Now, a couple clarifying disclaimers as we prepare to study this portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. And I might just mention first, our study this morning is introductory and will be incomplete this morning and will leave you unsatisfied. You might notice the title of my message, Spiritual Giftedness, Unity and Diversity, Part 1. That means there is at least a Part 2. And maybe more. And if you're able to be with us over the course of the next few weeks, we will package it all together as we work our way through these chapters. Second, our study this morning will be of this text. It will not be an exhaustive study or even a comprehensive study of the matter or the subject of spiritual gifts. Rather, Twin Cities Bible Institute or Central Baptist Theological Seminary offer you opportunities for further study. Our intent this morning is not to be exhaustive or even comprehensive on the matter of spiritual gifts, but to look at this text. And then third, just another disclaimer before we begin and go to the text. Every time we approach the Scripture, we bring our presuppositions with us, whether that is our education or whether that is our experiences. We all have presuppositions that color our vision when we read the scriptures. Now, that's not necessarily bad. Many times that is good and helpful. But at a minimum, we must recognize what those presuppositions are. And so I concede to you this morning that I come to this text with some presuppositions. It is my conviction that spiritual gifts are still operable today, but some of them have ceased. Three of the spiritual gifts that have ceased, I believe, are found in chapter 13, verse number 8. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. I am a cessationist. I believe that the miraculous sign gifts have ceased. That would make me a non-charismatic, a non-Pentecostal, a non-continuationist. And while I don't apologize for that, I do acknowledge that is the lens by which I understand the scriptures. And so that will give you some insight in my approach here. Lord willing, our study of 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 will be helpful for us. This morning we begin Spiritual Giftedness, Unity, and Diversity, part number one. Let's pause for prayer, shall we? Lord, it's with eager anticipation that we come to your word. God, we love you and we love your word and we love to read it and study it and to be taught by your spirit from it. I pray, God, that you would give us understanding this morning. And Lord, may we not be mindful of our culture or, Lord, of others who practice in the name of Christianity, but may we be mindful of the text. May we understand the scripture. But I pray that you will use my teaching now and this study to grow our faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For every truth that God presents, Satan, of course, works hard to pervert. And God's truth of creationism, of course, Satan denies with his lie of evolution. God's truth of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, has been distorted by Satan to be the lie of salvation by human merit and works. And for all of history, Satan has sought to destroy the truth. After all, he is the father of lies. And so we must be conscious of Satan's counterfeit. And I submit to you this morning that the same is the case regarding spiritual gifts. And Satan will counterfeit spiritual gifts. In fact, that is how the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, begins this portion of Scripture. He addresses, number one, the counterfeiting of spiritual gifts. Verse number two. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, these idols that can't even speak, however you were led. The pagan cults of Greece and Rome were part of what are commonly known as the mystery religions. And the city of Corinth was filled with the priests and the prophets and the religious prostitutes, the soothsayers and the diviners of these mystery religions who performed impressive feats of wizardry and witchcraft. And just as Pharaoh's magicians in Egypt were able to counterfeit Moses' miracles, performing impressive feats of wizardry and witchcraft, if you will, so their dramatic and demonic practices were also occurring in the city of Corinth. And of course, they were done in the name of idols that couldn't even speak. They were graven images of stone and wood. And before their conversion, the Corinthian believers had followed after that paganism. Yet even now, Satan was using those pagan signs, those pagan wonders, to confuse the church. And the immature and the carnal Corinthian church, when they witnessed a supernatural sign or a spectacular wonder, they assumed that it was legitimate from God. In fact, we read of Simon the sorcerer who performed signs and wonders, and the people thought that in fact Simon the sorcerer was of God. And so the Corinthians concluded that if something worked, if they saw it, if they felt it, if they heard it, if they experienced it, then it must be right and good. But Paul warns, before you were saved, you were led away after those dumb idols. those idols that couldn't even speak, don't fall for Satan's counterfeit again when it comes to the matter of spiritual gifts. And so Paul introduces a test to prove the validity of true spiritual gifts and their use. And this is the first of many tests that Paul will present. Verse number 3, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No blasphemous utterance can be attributed to the Spirit of God. If you experience something wonderful, if you witness something supernatural, but it is blasphemous to the person of God, it is not of God. If you witness something spectacular, but it contradicts God's word, then it is not of God. On the other hand," Paul writes, "no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And Paul is speaking of sincere confession here, for back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, if your mind can race there quickly, we're warned that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Anybody can verbalize the words. Anyone can claim the power. But the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ is only of the Holy Spirit. True spiritual gifts and the practice of true spiritual giftedness is by definition sourced in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But Satan, alas, Satan will counterfeit spiritual gifts. Secondly, that really leads us to number 2, the source of spiritual gifts. The source of spiritual gifts in verses 4 through 6, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, the word gift or gifts there in your scripture is the word charisma. It means grace gift or free gift. It is in the scripture, it is God who is the giver of charisma. In fact, your salvation is a spiritual gift. If you know Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," that is the charisma of God, "is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the source of true spiritual gifts is God, the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more frustrating than one who is trying to evidence spiritual gifts or evidence spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, without the Spirit. For it is the Spirit of God that generates those things by equipping and enabling a true believer who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So the source of spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit. But although there is a single source, there is a diversity or a variety of spiritual gifts. That's number 3, the diversity of spiritual gifts. The diversity of spiritual gifts. Verses 4 through 6 explain that there are a diversity or a variety of spiritual gifts that come from a single source, the Holy Spirit. Now, the New Testament lists spiritual gifts in a number of different places. You might want to jot these in the margin. Of course, one is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. That's our scripture portion this morning. But also, there is a list of spiritual gifts in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 to 8. Also, Ephesians chapter 4. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4. However, neither of these lists fully match each other. Therefore, it appears that it's only a partial list, perhaps, or it may represent general categories of giftedness. Consequently, I think we ought to be careful of overclassification, for a believer's giftedness may overlap in combination, or it may differ in proportion. One might be strong in a single gift, while another might have a measure of 3 or 4 gifts. Each believer is unique spiritually in giftedness, just as our human fingerprints are unique from one another. There's a diversity of spirit giftedness. In a moment, we'll examine the list for us in these coming verses. But first, look at verse number 7. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And if there is a verse in this passage that you might underscore or highlight, I really think it would be verse number 7. That is number 4, the purpose of spiritual gifts. verse number 7 is critical to this entire subject. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the profit of all. End of verse number 7. Our spiritual giftedness as part of the body of Christ is not for ourselves, but for the edification of one another. And God intends for you to serve and bless your brother and sister in Christ with whatever God has given to you. Perhaps this morning I can use myself as an example. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, to each one of us grace was given. That's charis or charisma. To each one of us grace or charisma has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Meaning this, the measure of giftedness that I have been graciously given by God to preach or to teach or to administrate or to shepherd or to serve, whatever I do, and however I do it, poorly or well, it is not for myself, but for you. My position and my pulpit is not to exalt me. It's to edify you. And as we each use our grace gifts and as we exercise our giftedness among one another in the body of Christ, we are here to help one another grow toward Christ's likeness. Now, this was a fundamental flaw in the Corinthians' thinking. You see, they were ignorant regarding this matter. Chapter 12, verse number 1. And they were also arrogant in their neglect of it. I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but at the end of chapter 12, Paul had to rebuke these people for selfishly pursuing the best gifts. You see, they clamored for the public gifts or the speaking gifts or the spectacular gifts, so that in chapter 12, verse 31, Paul had to show them a more excellent way. And of course, that more excellent way, chapter 13, verse number 1, was the way of love. So no matter what your giftedness, whatever you do or don't have, if you don't have love, you are nothing. Chapter 13. We'll get to that in a few weeks. You say, okay, Pastor, number one, Satan can counterfeit spiritual gifts. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the source, the singular source of all true spiritual gifts. Number three, there are many different classifications and categories of spiritual gifts, diversities of giftedness. And then number four, their purpose is to edify the church. Now, what are the spiritual gifts? And more specifically, what are my spiritual gifts? Let's look at the list that's printed for us here, listed in verses 8 through maybe 11. Now, remember, this is only one list in the New Testament. But this is what we're examining this morning. Verse number 8, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. I call this number 5 in your notes, the categories of spiritual gifts. Now, this is where disagreement and of interpretation is found. The definition or the description or the duration of these that are listed can create confusion and consternation. And perhaps with maybe one exception, I believe that the gifts that are listed here are temporary gifts given for the foundation and the establishment of the church, the authenticating of the gospel. But I'd like to give you a brief definition and description of these that are listed here. But as I do this very, very rapidly, you see there are subpoints, letters A through H. As I give these to you, know that Paul is not trying to describe the functions of these gifts in this text. That's not his point for listing these. Rather, Paul's point is illustrating that different kinds of gifts are all have a common source, and that is the Spirit of God. His point is to demonstrate that the variety of these gifts are sourced in the very same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Letter A, the gift of wisdom. It says the word of wisdom in verse number 8. It's the logos of Sophia in the Greek language. The term logos or word indicates a speaking ability. The term wisdom or Sophia often refers to the ability to skillfully apply God's precepts and principles to life. And here in this text, in this context, I believe it speaks to the application of new revelation in the first century today. Some recognize it as the teaching or counseling or verbally making application of God's written word to one's life. Next, you see the gift of knowledge. Again, the word of knowledge. The word suggests it's a speaking ability. The term knowledge refers to an understanding of truth. I believe this describes the ability to communicate the insights of God's revelation that have not yet been revealed. I think this is a revelatory gift. 1 Corinthians 13:8 suggests that this gift will vanish away. Letter C is the gift of faith in verse number 9. This is distinct from saving faith or daily faith. It's evidently a special measure of faith that God gives to some to trust Him in difficult times and demanding ways. Letter D is the gift of healings. Gift of healings are plural. It refers to many kinds of afflictions that need healing. And of course, in the New Testament, we read of how that Jesus Christ and the apostles and the 70 disciples and in Luke 10 miraculously healed many people of their sickness and diseases. There's no doubt about it. I already cited Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer who claimed to be great, and the church or the believers or at least the spectators said, certainly this man has the power of God. But that was a counterfeit ability that the sorcerer had there. And I certainly believe that God heals. God heals people. I don't believe that He heals people through the human faith healer and the gift of healings today. Letter E, the gift of miracles. A miracle is a supernatural intrusion into the natural world. Every miracle that is recorded in the Scripture, I accept. I believe that God is a God of miracles. Even today, I believe that God can perform miracles. But remember that Satan is a supernatural being also. He has great power, and he is able to counterfeit divine miracles. Letter F, the gift of prophecy. There at the end of verse number 10, or the middle of verse 10, prophecy is a declaration of God's revelation. It is Spirit-given, Spirit-empowered ability to proclaim the Word of God. And during the time of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, that proclamation of God's Word was through direct revelation from God. And God used them to author His Word. Today, we have God's revelation in print. And so while I may be a forth teller in that I am proclaiming God's revelation, we are no longer receiving additional revelation today. That is important. Important to know that God's revelation is complete. Letter G, the gift of discernment there at the end of verse 10, describes the examination and the necessary judgment to determine what is genuine of God, not spurious or of Satan. I think this could certainly include Christian doctrine and practice. Letter H, the gift of tongues. And this, of course, is the most controversial today. I think it must have been the most confusing in Corinth. And for that reason, Paul committed all of chapter 14 to address the gift of tongues in detail. And in a few weeks, we will study that gift in detail in chapter number 14. But at this point, let me define it as a supernatural ability to speak in another language. A known language. Acts chapter 2. The gift of tongues was unique for the early church. It was a temporary sign gift given to authenticate the gospel message. I do not believe it is for today. I believe that it has ceased. Again, in this context, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 8. But a couple thoughts about the matter of tongues, and then we'll move on to conclude this morning. 1 Corinthians was written about 54 A.D., It is a very early New Testament book. It was written during Paul's third missionary journey. We could appropriately insert 1 Corinthians into place just after Acts chapter 18. And at this point in church history, there was no complete canon of Scripture. And for that reason, the apostles were still receiving direct revelation from God. They were performing signs and wonders by the Spirit of God to authenticate the message of the gospel. And as time passed and the book of Acts concludes, many of these gifts disappear. In fact, the gift of tongues disappears from the rest of the New Testament entirely. After 1 Corinthians is tongues is gone, and tongues is not listed as a requirement for church leadership. It is not mentioned in the great text of pneumatology, that is passages that teach regarding the Holy Spirit. It is not listed among the fruits of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are told to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, not in tongues, but in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the only church in which tongues is mentioned is the church of Corinth, a notoriously unspiritual church. And Paul wrote not to encourage tongues, but to correct their abuses and misuses. And we'll discover that, of course, in the weeks to come. Otherwise, it really vanishes from the rest of our New Testament. But I want you to notice, and our time is up. It's gone so quickly. I want you to notice that the Spirit is mentioned six times in verses 7 through 11. And I really believe this is the point of this passage. Beginning in verse number 7, of the Spirit. Verse number 8, through the Spirit. And through the same Spirit. Verse number 9, the same Spirit, by the same Spirit. And then also then in 10:11, the same Spirit. Summarized in verse number 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So here's our takeaway for this morning, this incomplete study, this introductory study on the matter of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Our takeaway, I think, really could be summed up in number 6, the distribution of spiritual gifts from verse number 11. The Holy Spirit of God is the divine agent to equip and enable us to edify one another. And if you are here this morning and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit as a permanent resident within you, and you have been given something by the Spirit for use in the body. Many times we neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are a non-charismatic church. I'm glad for that. I believe there's great error there. However, I hope that we're not a non-Holy Spirit church. I hope that as you are a genuine believer with the Spirit of God residing within you, that as He works with your spirit, that He gifts you for ministry. Not to exalt yourself, but to edify the body. And there are fancy schmancy tests that you can take to discern your spiritual gift. It's sometimes borders on psychobabble. But rather, as you before the Lord, on your knees, on your face, with the scripture open, and as you come to understand how the Lord has enabled you to edify the body, there's a lot of different giftedness. But there's one Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of God, who equips and enables us for the profit of all, verse number 7. To be continued, let's pray. Lord God, thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the work of regeneration that He does in giving us new life. Thank You for the illumination that He gives us, leading us into all truth, so that we might understand the Scriptures. Thank You for the sealing He provides, guaranteeing our salvation. Thank You for the giftedness He gives each of us individually according to His will. And so God, now as believers individually and as a church corporately, we ask that Your Spirit might be active among us, enabling us, equipping us, empowering us to bless one another, to edify one another, to serve one another in this place. Lord, we look forward to a fuller understanding of these things in the weeks to come as we continue to study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.